tough one for the Hawks. A pretty good bounce back effort after that 6-3 loss to Winnipeg, but just not enough. Losing in overtime, Evan Bouchard, who's had a lot of criticism for his start of the year. You hear John mention it at the beginning of the broadcast. I think he's a -9, but he gets the game-winning goal for Edmonton. The Hawks do pick up a point, and, I mean, overtime, 3-on-3, really anything can happen. This is the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. We'll bring in Charlie Ormeliotis from Edmonton here real quick before you got to jet out of there, Charlie, and pretty good third period there. They held on, kept it, were able to tie it up, and then were able to force overtime. And then, I mean, it's just if you win that first faceoff, like you guys were saying, it that goes a long way in the overtime.
Yeah, you didn't want to start with the World Series, or should we? I guess we should go right into hockey, right?
Yeah. I mean, Dodgers go back-to-back, first time since 2000. The mega team keeps it rolling. Yoshinobu Yamamoto's got an iron arm, apparently, threw 98 pitches yesterday and threw 40 pitches tonight. I don't know how he did that, but he won MVP.
I think Dave Roberts even said yesterday that he wasn't planning on making Yamamoto available. So, actually, to put a bow on that, this was a really cool environment today because you can feel the energy in the city with the Toronto Blue Jays Game 7. It just felt like there was something in the air, and especially it being Saturday night. It's hockey night in Canada, nonetheless, and then it's a Saturday night Blue Jays. The energy in the building was awesome, and even throughout the game, they had a split screen up of the Blue Jays game, and the crowd was going crazy. And I thought it was just awesome experience to be here in the building for it. I thought it was noteworthy though that they did take the split screen down in the third period. So I'm wondering if someone said something. I don't know if the league or the Oilers coaching staff or whatever is saying, hey, we need 2 points here. We don't want any distractions. But yeah, it was a really cool building at the atmosphere tonight with the Blue Jays game going on. But as far as the Hawks game goes, you mentioned it. I did think it was a good bounce back effort. If anything, I thought this would have been the game where the Hawks of the road trip, I thought Edmonton would have been the one that would give them problems just because they got such elite skill with McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard on the back end. And fortunately for the Blackhawks, Zach Hyman didn't return in this game. He's been out since game 4 of the Stanley Cup final. He was eligible to return tonight from long-term injured reserve with that wrist injury, but he's not going to be back until next week. And so I thought if Hyman would have returned tonight, that would have given Edmonton such a crazy energy boost. But I was still really impressed with the Blackhawks' overall game. It wasn't perfect. There were some, I think the Hawks got docked with 17 giveaways, so the puck management wasn't great at times. But, hey, Edmonton does that to you. They've got such elite players with McDavid and Draisaitl that naturally they're going to force you into making quicker decisions more than you want to. But unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to pick up that second point in overtime.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it was a good showing for them. I mean, that we talked about it in both intermissions, but that top line just kept pushing for the Blackhawks. It seems like they may have found something here for the foreseeable future.
No question. The Green, Bedard, Burakovsky, I don't know. I'll have to look this up after this, but I don't know what the ice time was for Bedard in the third period, but it felt like he was on the ice every other shift. And same with Ryan Green, who was starting to get double shifted on that third line with Donato and Mikheyev. And so I thought that trio of Green, Bedard, Burakovsky, they've been really good since they've been put on a line together. And I honestly can't even pinpoint exactly why, because I didn't. That's not a line that you think would do well together, with Green more of a natural center. And just early season for him, like, he's still trying to work through some growing pains as well, but ever since he's been put on that first line, he's been really good. And I thought it was noteworthy that he was part of the second shift in overtime for the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Like, they went right to him in overtime. That's how much trust they put in him. And so I thought Green was excellent in this game.
Yeah, I think Jeff Blashill double shift him a few times too in that third period, pairing him with some other people. So rewarding him for his solid play there. Ryan Green, I mean, yeah, just we talked about it earlier. He wasn't supposed to be even on the opening night. He wasn't on the opening night roster, and then they had to add him because of Landon Slaggart. So he's been playing well there for the Blackhawks. What did you think of Colton Dock playing center today?
Yeah, I don't know if I see him there long term.
Yeah.
He only took 3 faceoffs tonight, and he lost all 3 of them. So I think head coach Jeff Blashill saw that and kind of took him out of the faceoff role. So that's why you saw Ryan Green jump in there. Mm-hmm. Connor Bedard took shifts on that third line. Nick Foligno took a shift on that, took, I think, a couple shifts on the third line too. I just, Colton is more of a winger. I'm looking at his ice time. He only finished with 10 minutes and 29 seconds of ice time, so he wasn't out there very much. But to be fair, this is a really difficult task for him
right.
to play center for the first time this season. Now, he's done it in the past. He's done it in Rockford, but his natural position is wing. But the opening faceoff of this game was Leon Draisaitl versus Colton Dock. And so it was right, or maybe it was McDavid. It was one of the two. It was either McDavid or Draisaitl versus Colton. I think it was McDavid, actually, versus Colton Dock. And it's like, okay, if that's going to be a matchup where Edmonton is going to try to find they're going to try to find the matchups in this game as the home team, that would certainly be an area to exploit. But it was a tough game for Doc, but I don't see him there long term, so it's hard for me to put any eggs in that basket.
Right. Yeah, it just seemed like something they were trying out there for Colton Dock playing center. What are you looking for moving on here? I mean, it seemed like we talked about it. It was a good next step for this team after, I guess you could say, a disappointing 6-3 loss against Winnipeg. They take the Oilers, defending Western Conference champion, two-time defending Western Conference champion, the overtime on the road. What are you looking for in Seattle? Looks like they just lost in overtime to the Rangers on Monday night.
Yeah, I think just sticking with the process and not letting the results kind of, you don't want them to ride the highs and lows. Mm-hmm. I think the Hawks did a really good job of that in the first three games after coming out of the gate with an 0-2-1 record. The underlying numbers said the Hawks were actually playing pretty well, and you could have pointed to, you know, the home opener against Montreal. They were 15 seconds away from pushing it to overtime, and then anything could have happened there. Florida needed all 60 minutes to get the job done against Chicago. Boston, that overtime, Hawks had two grade A looks, and they lost in overtime. So it's like, I think just sticking with the process, maybe throw the Winnipeg game out into the garbage, because it was that first line that drove everything. But if you eliminate, you know, at even strength, it feels like the Hawks have been right in there. And I think the Hawks came into this game with a positive goal differential at 5-on-5. Edmonton had a negative goal differential at 5-on-5, which is not something I would have expected between these two teams. And so I think just sticking to the process, and the Hawks only had one power play in this game. I know they capitalized on it with the Tyler Bertuzzi goal, but that if you have one power play, that odds are low that it's going to be hard for you to find a way to win the game just at even strength.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, they were able to convert on that, but yeah, when you give Edmonton three power plays, they convert on two of them, and that's kind of the game right there. All right, Charlie, good job. I think you're getting on a plane and then another plane, and then we'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, I'm getting on a plane, I think, in 6 hours.
Oh.
I should just go straight to the airport.
You might as well. All right, you're a warrior. Good job, and we'll see you on Monday.
Awesome. Thanks for filling in for me today. I know it was a late one for you guys over there, but I'll see you back home on Monday.
Yeah, sounds good. No worries.
All right. See you, Jack.
All right, that's Charlie Romeliotis filling in for Troy Murray on the call. Yeah, he's got a crazy travel schedule. Like he said, I guess he's getting on a plane in 6 hours, coming back here on tomorrow, and then he'll be back in his usual role on Monday and Wednesday before heading out to Calgary to be back on the broadcast. So it's gonna be an interesting week here with Blackhawks on the West Coast, some late night hockey, and just couldn't do enough tonight to get a win. They lose 3-2 in overtime to the Oilers, but they do pick up a point and a nice step for this young team after they lose 6-3. Got away from them a little bit, and like we were talking about earlier with Charlie, Winnipeg looks like to be a team contending for the Stanley Cup, and you could say the same thing with the Oilers. And they were able to take them to overtime 2 days later. They were able to regroup and had a chance to win this game. And out of the 12 games this year, I think 10 of them, they've lost by one goal. So this has been a really positive start to the season for the Blackhawks. They do drop this one, but they pick up that point, and they just keep making progress. As Jeff Blashill said, there's going to be peaks and valleys, and hopefully they can limit the valleys. And so far, at the beginning of the season, they've had a lot more peaks than valleys. But they fall tonight 3-2. This is the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Armeliotis. Got more to get to. Hopefully get some locker room sound and recaps here pretty soon. But you're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
The Oilers have pretty much controlled the puck in all of overtime. Now Bouchard in front shoots. He scores. Off the give from Dreisaitl. Evan Bouchard was wide open in the left wing circle. Dreisaitl pulled up in the right wing circle and stopped. He looked at the net and then fed it over to Bouchard, who on his second attempt beat Spencer Knight. And the Oilers won in overtime 3-2.
That was the game winner in Edmonton, called by John Weidman. Yeah, Evan Bouchard got the game-winning goal, and Spencer Knight made a really good save initially on that first shot, and then it just kind of fluttered in the air, and Bouchard was skating by and just knocked it in past Spencer Knight. So a tough one to lose here for the Blackhawks. This is the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Armeliotis. Charlie was on the call with John, and the Hawks are able to scratch out a point in this one, just not able to get the 2 points, but a good step forward for the young team trying to find their way in the NHL. Next step is just trying to figure out how to get that last goal. But in overtime, 3-on-3, there's so much open ice, and winning that opening faceoff goes a long way in being able to win the game, because you're able to just keep possession. It's just a possession game in the overtime, so the Oilers won that opening faceoff, and the Hawks had some tired players out there and just weren't able to flip the ice there in that overtime. They did get down to 2 minutes in that overtime when Bouchard scored. So tough one there for the Hawks in Edmonton, losing 3-2. Tonight's ice times are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. The ice time leader for the Blackhawks today was defenseman Alex Vlasic, had 23-14 of ice time, leading the way for the Hawks. And Vlasic, that top defenseman out there for the Hawks. And with the Hawks rolling out 11-7, the ice times have gotten a little bit wonky for the Blackhawks. And Jeff Blassett was talking about that a little bit yesterday after practice, trying to figure out how to manage ice time for everybody. When you're going 11-7, there's more defensemen, so defensemen haven't gotten too much ice time there, but Vlasic leading the way at 23-14, and then Wyatt Kaiser, 21-07, had a strong start to the season, and he played pretty well tonight too, made a few solid plays defensively. I heard Charlie and John describing him being so good at shutting things down at the blue line and making good plays with the puck in his own end, so he gets 21-07 of ice time there. And then Sam Rinzell had 16:51. If you remember at the beginning of the year, the first game of the year, I think he played 24, 23 minutes, something like that, of ice time. And after that, Jeff Blashill was like, yeah, that's probably too much for him. But Rinzell down to 16:51, really leaning on Vlasic and Kaiser on the blue line for the Blackhawks tonight. It is interesting to look at these ice times for them. When you're looking for the defense for the Blackhawks, when you're looking at going 11-7, Connor Murphy was the least at 12:29. Then you have Artem Levchinov, who picked up an assist tonight on the game tying goal for the Blackhawks. He had 14:17. So it's interesting how Jeff Blashill is trying to help develop these young defensemen, and the Blackhawks have so many of them. Going 11-7 helps get them out on the ice. When you look over at the forward group, Frank Nazar led the way at 21:10 of ice time. Charlie said that Connor Bedard was out there a lot in that third period, but he was fourth on the team for the forward group at 18:54 of ice time for Bedard. He had another point in this game. He was a plus one. He did have 2 penalty minutes, but another point for Bedard. That's his 15th point of the season, and he's well over a point a game right now, as they play 12 games and he's at 15 on the year. So a really strong start for Bedard. And like Charlie and I were talking about at the beginning of this, is he's just looked really noticeable and really good to start the year. He spent the offseason focusing on his body and focusing on getting ready for this season, not going to play with Team Canada in the Worlds. And you're starting to see the good stuff that came out of that decision, looking like he's made the right decision for this next year. I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for him to play with Team Canada. Who knows? Maybe he could even play his way into the Olympic team this year. Seems like he's battling for one of those last few spots, but his play right now is putting him right on the bubble there, and at least in the conversation, I think those rosters come out in December, and I think the Hawks have a few guys that might be in the conversation for a few of those teams, and you're looking at Frank Nazar and maybe even Spencer Knight getting in there, but Connor Bedard playing his way into that conversation again. He got another point in this one. And you got Andrei Burakovsky. He had a tough first game in Florida. Really, since then, he's been very good and very noticeable. And you heard on John and Charlie talking about the chemistry that those two have, just really fast too. Burakovsky coming over in a trade in the offseason from Seattle. The Hawks' next game is in Seattle. Him and Bedard have just really hit it off quick here, being able to just know where each other's going to be out there on the ice, and just being able to, I mean, you just see the chemistry between those two guys, and they've had a few other line mates kind of shuffle through, and right now you're looking at Ryan Green, who was really solid again. It looked like he talked after the game as well. He was a plus one. He also picked up a point. So you look at that top line for the Blackhawks with Connor Bedard getting a point. Ryan Green got a point, and then Andrei Burakovsky got 2 points. He had a goal and an assist. All of them are plus one. So that top line continues to keep cooking here for the Blackhawks, which is good to see, and hopefully they can keep building off of that as we keep moving along here through this. But yeah, Ryan Green, fifth on the forward group for the Blackhawks in ice time at 17:33. So you're starting to see his ice time tick up a little bit more as he gets more and more opportunities, earning more trust. And it's good to see him get a point. He had 2 points coming in, a point and an assist and coming into this game. So it's good to see him get on the score sheet, because when you've been watching the games, you could see the impact that he has, but it's nice to see him get into the box score. And we talked about it on Blackhawks Live earlier this week with Ryan Donato, his hot start. Charlie talked about his time, his ice time being in about like the 16 to 18 minute range. Well, he was right there in the middle of it at 17:02. He's cooled off this game and the last few games, but hopefully he can get it rolling, because we've seen him being able to flip that switch very quick in these past 2 years. So hopefully he can get it rolling again. And then Ilya Mikheyev took that fall into the boards on Sunday, and it looked a little scary for him as he just skated off the ice and went straight into the dressing room. But he only missed he missed two games, the Tuesday and Thursday game, and he's back out there today, third in ice time, 19:13, and they threw him out there on the penalty kill, and he had a chance to score on that penalty kill with a breakaway, and he almost had that, and that's what the Hawks were missing in those two games he was out. And Jason Dickinson didn't play in this game either. Those two are very good on the penalty kill and very good in their own zone defensively, being able to shut down the other opponent's top line. So getting Mikheyev back was big, especially with Dickinson being out. And it sounds like Jason Dickinson is day-to-day again, just kind of battling some nagging injuries. And it seems like he comes back for a few games and then re-aggravates it. So hopefully he can come back soon, because those two are really important to the Blackhawks' success. But Ilya Mikheyev, third on the team for the forwards with 19:13 of ice time. So good to see him get back out there. Very solid, underrated player for the Blackhawks. But the Blackhawks do fall to the Oilers 3-2 in overtime, picking up a point in game two of this West Coast road trip. We got more to get to. Hopefully get some sound rolling in here soon. You're listening to The Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Meliotis. Got more to get to. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Ryan Green in a battle with Kulak. Wins the battle for the puck. Feather right circle. And Levshinov pumps it on goal. They score! In front of the net, Andrei Burakovsky on the rebound. Worked it past Skinner. And the Hawks have now tied the game at 2.
This is the Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. And that was the game-tying goal for the Blackhawks in that third period. And it came off the stick of Andrei Burakovsky. A really great play by Ryan Green. Went in a puck battle behind the net, was able to get control, get a good feed to Levchinov, who got off a good shot, and then the rebound bounced right to Burakovsky, and he's able to bury it, and the Hawks were able to hold on, force overtime, but they aren't able to get the win. They do pick up a point. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. The Blackhawks able to get that point. I think it was big for them to bounce back. And then going into Seattle, as they're on this beastly six-game road trip, their longest road trip of the year, they're getting out of the way here at the end of October and into November. And I just being able to come back and kind of settle things down, like Charlie was saying when we talked at the top of the show, being able to, he thought this could be a game that could maybe get away from him when you just look at the star power of the Edmonton Oilers. But the Blackhawks were able to hang in there, trade some blows with them, just couldn't get that last goal as they fall 3-2 in overtime. We'll look at some of the future here. It's time for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. There's actually a few things to get through here with the Blackhawks prospects. A lot of good happening in the system. It's been a lot of good for the Blackhawks on the ice at the NHL level. And you're looking at Connor Bedard, Frank Nazar, Andrei Burakovsky's been good. And you look at some other young players like Ryan Green, has been off to a good start. Spencer Knight's been really good. And now the pipeline's really looking good as well. We'll start at UMass with Vaclav Nestrostil. He had the game winner for them last night. He has 7 goals in 8 games and 12 points in 8 games. This was the Blackhawks' second first-round pick from this past draft. They picked Anton Frondell, then Nestrostil, and then they picked Mason West. And he's a guy, like I said, got 12 points in 8 games. He's gotten off to a very good start for the Blackhawks at UMass. So a strong start for the freshman. And he's really starting to turn some heads. And you're looking at some of these guys that the Blackhawks have been able to draft later in the first round. You look at Sam Renzel. He's turned into a really good player. Not late in the first round, but you look, they drafted Frank Nazar. Some of these guys are starting to break out and have some really good seasons. You look at Nick Lardis was a third round pick. Second or third round pick, and he's looking really good in Rockford. He scored again today. Oliver Moore was a later first round pick, and he's been playing really well in Rockford. Rockford did lose earlier today, but Lardis got an assist from Moore on a power play goal. So some good stuff happening in Rockford. And another prospect that's been really exciting for the Blackhawks is Roman Kantsarov over in the KHL. He sat down with RG Media. A pretty interesting story on their website by Sergei Demidov, where he talked with him about his season, and it looks like he may be eyeing a move to the Blackhawks starting next year. Could be a year that he would realistically make his NHL debut. His contract with his KHL team is up in May of 2026, so that sets him up to be able to come over to the States, whether it be Rockford or Chicago. But this is a guy that's turned some heads for the past few years, and he was a second-round pick back in 2023, 44th overall. And he's off to a really good start this year. He's played a lot of wing, and he moved to center this year, and he's really started to thrive for his team over in the KHL. He's got 13 goals and 21 points through 21 games at the end of October. He also has a plus 23 rating, so very good when he's been out there on the ice. So he's working on, he made this shift to moving to center, and it took him a few games, but he's really starting to flourish, and now he has that experience at center and wing, like we were talking about with Colton Dock. He's had some experience, and they've bounced some guys around between center and wing in Rockford just so they have that experience. But Roman Kantsarov, I know, is someone a lot of people are excited about, and he keeps feeling that excitement and that hype with what he's done over in the KHL. So hopefully he can keep that going, and it would be really nice to see him over here in North America next year when his KHL contract runs out. It seems like that was always going to kind of maybe be the plan, and now Kantsarov in this interview with RG is saying that might be the chance he bounces over to the States for for the Blackhawks. But some other notes. We talked about Jack Pridham scored his 8th goal of the season as an empty netter over the past few days. Sacha Boisvert, another first round pick for the Blackhawks in 2024, was able to pick up an assist over in his game with Boston University. He also had 12 penalty minutes. Getting this from Bleacher Nation, Tad Banford doing a good job getting this roundup here. And then goalie Adam Guyon's had a really good start to the year for Minnesota Duluth. He had 25 saves in their most recent game against North Dakota, but they were able to get the win 4-3. Then John Musters had a solid start to the season as well for Providence. He notched his 5th goal of the season. So a lot of good happening for the Blackhawks on the ice at the NHL level, and then also throughout their system. It seems like they're loading up and getting ready for this final run. It looks like we got some sound rolling in from Edmonton. We'll play some of that next. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. We got some sound rolling in from Edmonton. Looks like we got Ryan Green, Spencer Knight, and Jeff Blashill. Ryan Green back on that top line, got a point in this game, an assist, and was a plus one. Let's hear what the young Hawks forward had to say after this one.
You know, I think it's a good thing that we've been, you know, tight with some of the top teams in the league, but obviously got to find a way to get it done.
Well, did you notice the baseball stuff going on for the first two periods?
As a Canadian, like a little bit, a big Jays fan, but you know, you try to just cancel it out and focus on the game. I know there was one shift, there was like a huge roar, and kind of distracted me a little bit, but yeah, I know, try not to pay attention to it too much.
Was that, were guys paying attention to it?
No, I wouldn't say, no. They definitely had it on the Jumbotron, but no, I think we were trying to focus on the game for sure.
We were wondering if someone asked them to take it, they didn't have it on the Jumbotron in the third period.
Yeah, actually. I know, I saw that. They took it off, but.
On that tying goal, if you work from you behind the net, what are you looking for there? How do you see Yardy coming down?
Yeah, puck gets rim low, just, you know, trying to play strong and win a battle, and, you know, luckily it popped out to me there, and got control of it, saw Yardy coming down, so just tried to put in a good spot for him to get a shot off.
What's it been like for you to get this opportunity in this kind of top line role to get with high school players like that?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, it's pretty easy playing with, you know, guys like Connor and Berkey, obviously unbelievable players, and yeah, just trying to take the opportunity and run with it.
Is it easy? Because it could also be pretty hard to keep up with them sometimes.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but no, I think they make it really easy on me. They're great about it, and they talk a lot as well to make it easier on me, so it's been really good.
There's Ryan Green after the game. Yeah, it's funny. Talking about him being a Jays fan, and it sounded like he was kind of upset they took it off the off the video board, trying to follow what was going on there. Yeah, interesting atmosphere in Edmonton. If you listen throughout the broadcast, you could hear the crowd cheering, and you just hear John doing play by play of just a normal hockey game, nothing really going on, and then you'd hear, oh, the Blue Jays did this or that, and Dodgers did end up coming back and winning the World Series in Game 7, 5-4. So a tough one there for the Canadian crowd. But the Oilers did get the win, 3-2 in overtime. Ryan Green was solid once again, getting more and more ice time. 17:33 of ice time, got a point. Talking about how it can be hard playing when you're up there with a guy like Connor Bedard and Andre Burakovsky, because they just play the game and see the game at such a high level. But Ryan Green is someone that we've talked about since he made his debut at the end of last year, and over the summer is just someone who's very solid centerman who's playing wing right now, and just a really solid player for the Blackhawks in the mix for them right now. Big Jays fan, though, so that's a tough loss for him, but hopefully he can keep his good play up for the Blackhawks as they keep moving forward and moving into Seattle. Spencer Knight, 27 saves on 30 shots. They give up those 3 goals. Made a really good save on that last goal before the rebound was just kind of fluttering up there, knocked in by Evan Bouchard. But let's hear what the Blackhawks goaltender had to say after this one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, you're like, okay, you take the point, go back to the drawing board, and you know, look at what you can do better, then just keep rolling.
How would you assess the team performance? It seemed like, you know, pretty even game.
Yeah, I think the guys battled hard. You know what? I mean, Blash has said it a few times that, you know, this is an everyday league. And as a young team, I think we, you know, are starting to realize that you have to show up every single day. You know, whether it's a practice day Morning skate, game, every game, you know. You can't just be good 1 month and good the next. It's, you know, so it's a good test for us, you know, just to keep going, coming in, day out, and trying to replicate a good game.
How important was it for you to get right back in there the next game after, you know, maybe your first off night of the season in Winnipeg?
It doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. It's kind of just like you just go about your day, whatever it is, good or bad, you know. Just that's how I approach it, at least.
What was it like looking up and seeing World Series game on the channel?
You know, I didn't really watch it per se, but I remember there was one point in the second period where it must have been on the Jumbotron, because the play was like, there was a play, it was around the net, and everyone's quiet. And all of a sudden, everyone started freaking out, and I almost jumped a little bit. I was like, what the f*** is going on? Like, what? Like, and I was like, oh, they're at the World Series. But I was like, it was just puck around the net. All of a sudden, people were like screaming. I'm like, what? I don't know. But then I was like, oh, Jays are playing.
It's safe to say it was distracting.
at that one point, it was. What was the score?
The Dodgers came back to win.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
It looked like the Jays had won, and it was like.
Really, I had to watch the highlights. Yeah. I figured the Jays were winning just because of the reaction of the crowd consistently.
They were winning most of it. Yeah.
Wow, that's why.
5-4 in the 11th, I think.
Wow.
Final score.
Really? Wow, that's a crazy game. Wow.
were you guys almost happy that it wasn't on in the third period?
At that point, after that, say in the second, I was like, okay, thank God it's, I guess maybe not, thank goodness, but it's, it was kind of nice, just game noise, you know? Like,
bummed us out.
I wish we were all bummed out in the locker room that we couldn't, they didn't have the day off today and then play tomorrow, because tomorrow we would have been able to watch it all. You know, we watched it in the meal room yesterday, last night. So, but no, that's cool stuff in sports.
I love how much the players were invested into the World Series, and good stuff from Spencer Knight there, saying he almost jumped when there was a play down in the net when the crowd just started screaming and he thought something happened. But clearly, one of those fun days in sports, a lot of college football going on. Game 7 of the World Series, two best words in sports, and then a bunch of hockey going on. Hockey night in Canada and Edmonton with the Blackhawks falling to the Oilers 3-2 in overtime. But really, really interesting atmosphere. I mean, you could hear it all along the broadcast, and it's funny here at the station. Our TV was like 30 seconds behind what you could hear out in Edmonton. So we'd hear them start screaming. We knew something good must have happened. About 20 seconds or so before it happens. Weird how TV feeds work, but everybody had one eye on that game and also on the hockey game. And it is funny that they did pull it off in the third period. It does make you think maybe someone was just like, hey, we got to get rid of that. It's a little too much. And you heard John describing the play-by-play, doing a little dual sport with Game 7 updates and doing the play-by-play hockey, which he's so good at, of the Blackhawks. But he did say some players were looking on the bench, looking up at the scoreboard when they had the picture-in-picture going in that second period. And it's funny, the game started at 7 o'clock Central Time, and the Hawks didn't start till 9, but the baseball game was on into the third period, and that's just how it goes sometimes in those playoff games. They can go for over 4 hours, and it is funny that Spencer Knight's like, oh, I have to catch the highlights. We kind of wanted it to be an off day for the World Series today, and then they could watch it tomorrow, so everyone had that attention, especially with Canada. It's kind of cool to see that all of Canada's getting behind Toronto, since they only have that one team. But they just came up short, and the Blackhawks came up short tonight, 3-2 in overtime. We have the head coach, Jeff Blashilt, here, what he had to say after this loss.
Point, or is it frustrating anytime you leave a point on the board?
Both. You know, I think when you're down on the road against obviously, you know, the defending Stanley Cup finalist, to come back and get a point is good. You know, you feel good about that. But once you get to overtime, you want both, you know. And obviously, we didn't have the puck a bunch in overtime, so that's a tough one. But you know, like I said, I thought we did. There was some stuff we did good out there. There's certainly things we can keep getting better at. We battled back, got a point, so let's move on.
Lechnov was out there forever, and then it's David and Bouchard and Draisaitl. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, I know. It certainly wasn't his fault. He was out there forever. You're going to get tired. You know, we kind of had another guy get beat a little bit, and so now it's like a two-on-one. So, you know, that's what happens in overtime, and they're obviously, those guys are elite overtime players. We couldn't kind of get our guys back on the ice, and so it's just the way it goes.
The second period's been a struggle, but it seemed like at 5-on-5 it was actually pretty good tonight and carried over to the third period. What went well?
We started pushing. I thought, you know, like, I think the biggest thing, it's like every team. I mean, if you can make them defend, you're in a way better spot. And we kind of pushed, and I thought had them on their heels a little bit, and really all the way until we took the penalty, you know, and then they score on the power play. So I liked our second. I liked, you know, the way there was moments in the second where in our own end we still got to clean it up a little bit. We didn't stop on enough pucks. We kind of at times were a little careless with the puck. But I thought throughout the game, especially in the second, third, we got in the offensive zone. We were pretty good.
Unique environment with the baseball game being played at the same time. Was that distracting in any way?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, I couldn't help but look either, you know. So, I mean, the crowd went nuts, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. And then, yeah, so it was a weird, interesting moment. You know, it's been neat being up here, you know, just from an aspect that it's one country's team, and you can tell that, and you can kind of get that that vibe. So, but it was an interesting moment.
Did you guys request they stop that for the third period? Because it stopped with the third period.
No. I don't know what happened, to be honest with you. I didn't say anything. But it was interesting. It was interesting, to say the least.
We talked about Ryan Green winning battles, and he wins a battle down low for the tying goal. Is that what you want to see from him?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the more he learns how to win those battles, the more successful he'll be. He's got a good skill set, you know, and so, you know, the big thing in this league, and you got to have the puck in order to utilize that skill set. So to do that, you got to go get it. Sometimes you got to win battles, and he did that, so good for him.
So it wasn't Jeff Blashill who requested the World Series be taken off in the third period, so it didn't seem like it was from the Blackhawks side of things, but the Blackhawks fall 3-2 in overtime. Liking what Ryan Green's done once again. That top line was really good again for the Blackhawks, all plus one and contributing on the score sheet, so that was good to see for the Hawks. And a better second period, that's something that they've really struggled with, is that second period. But they did give up those two power play goals, but they were able to get a power play goal of their own. Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Kraken on Monday night, pregame at 8:30, puck drop at 9. Charlie will be back. The Kraken lost in overtime to the Rangers earlier today. And that's the next game for the Blackhawks on Monday night. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and a Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Thank you to our engineer, the great Krista Flores, for keeping us on track. Our production team of Eli Burke and Ashley Byhun making her debut tonight, doing a great job. John Weideman and Charlie Romeliotis filling in for Troy had the call of Oilers beating the Blackhawks 3-2 in overtime. I'm Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie. Charlie's back on Monday. We'll talk to you at 8:30.